a
good afternoon.
That was a little loud on the levels there.
Oh, it's yeah. It's
man. We are popping those levels.
Woo!
Yeah, we don't got no screen on here. We don't care. You can hear those
no
all those pops
filters.
Yeah, whatever.
You people and your pop filters.
How you guys doing now?
Excellent way to start the Pompidou podcast.
Oh, it is. Oh, it is the Pompidou podcast.
The podcast about Pompidou P. Pompidou.
I forgot that. Yeah, that's his name.
That's his point. Pompidou. So yeah, we're sorry about the audio quality last week.
A little wonky for only the first half though.
It was good after about like 30 minutes.
We've decided to rent out a new space for our
little studio. This is on loan. We are on location at ESPN right now, actually, in their radio studios right now.
ESPN 3.
So no one really cares.
I mean, yeah, no, they were okay with renting it out. This is a little slow season.
Actually,
right now.
ESPN 3 is the only place I can watch your rugby.
I'm
just saying.
Exactly. Like we said, there's nothing.
I care.
Like we said, there's nothing going on important. So
I forgot you watch rugby.
I'm sorry, but the European Championships just concluded, and fucking Edinburgh won. So get at me. It was an amazing fucking match, and you watched.
Are you an Edinburgh fan?
When they're on, yeah.
What's your team? What's your rugby team?
I like Irish. Ireland. I like the Ireland rugby team. The London Irish. Uh-huh. I like also.
Uh-huh.
And I like England, but I mean,
do they have... Here's my problem with British sports, and I find this quite frequently.
British are like just European sports.
I guess you're... I don't know the fucking difference. It's all
essentially,
the same. It's all
no,
the same
well,
region,
no, essentially,
right?
Like, rugby is everything but the United States, but it's starting to become big in the United States.
It's not, though.
No, it is.
It is not.
No,
though.
It is.
I'll let you know once I see fucking rugby jerseys hanging around. Rugby jerseys are on the clearance rack at Dick's Sporting Goods, we'll meet you.
Soccer is starting to get big in the United States again.
That's
right?
What everybody says. That's what they're all saying.
Like that's what's getting big. Rugby is not quite...
They're all saying soccer's getting big, and it's not. For the record, it's not getting big.
I know tons of people are watching soccer lately.
But anyway... Does rugby have, like, team names, or is it just by location?
Yeah,
New Zealand All Blacks.
Yeah, the most famous one is the New Zealand All Blacks.
Is that racist?
There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
They're not, all the players are not black.
England,
in fact, most of them are white.
England, I believe, are the Roses.
The Rose. I like that name.
Ireland's just
every
island.
Rose has its thorn, am I right, folks?
Just
like every night has its dawn.
The US teams are
except for
the
tonight.
United States Aeromets. So it's not just the United States of America team, it's the USA Aeromets.
The USA Emirates?
Something like that. Hold on, I can check.
They don't matter.
Give me like two.
No, the United Emirates.
They don't matter.
No.
As
the
in
USA,
where Dubai is.
USA. No, trust me.
USA. No.
USA. I can fucking check.
I'm no rugby expert. I think you're wrong. What are we podcasting about today?
Pompidou.
Episode 3 of Pompidou entitled Bowl.
The Bowl.
The Bowl. Or Bowl. I think it was just Bowl.
No, it was The Bowl.
No,
I'm pretty
it was
sure
The
Bowl.
Bowl.
It was The Bowl.
I am 100% on
pretty sure it was The Bowl.
Pretty sure.
Well,
bumped to episode 3.
The bowl.
Alright, well, you are all...
Suck my giant dick.
If it was
he's
giant,
being,
I would.
He's being figurative, of course.
Yes.
I like how we're all wearing... Like, Nico right now is wearing an ESPN shirt that they gave him for allowing us to host today.
That's I am indeed.
You are.
Zach is wearing an Xbox shirt, which I appreciate, even though I hate Xbox. But
it was the only thing clean.
But it's a logo, so. And I'm wearing a Dungeons & Dragons t-shirt.
Yes, you are. I have that in my car. I don't have my car, though.
We are repping so many brands right now.
I know.
Ridiculous. We should get paid for... No, if this was a video podcast, we would get, like, 5 cents for...
On my keys, I also have two.
Then we'd at least
two,
be able to...
franchises.
Yeah. You know, then we'd at least be able to pay our interns.
Yeah, that's very true.
But they're interns.
We're still
it's a paid
internship. No, the intern is sitting over there. It's in the booth, but...
It's sitting in the booth.
We didn't turn his mic on, though.
Did we feed it?
I think we did, yeah.
Did we feed it? I didn't feed it.
I give him a
I thought Nico said he was going to feed it, right? Because he said you were going to feed
it. I give him a bag of chips. Is that okay?
No. But well, you maybe.
But
not the, for...
But
not,
they, like, expired 2 years
not
ago.
Not for it.
So,
well, anyway.
That's...
So, it might be dead.
He's working the board in there.
He's doing good. I see him sweating. He's...
Yeah. The,
Yeah, we have the temperature on there cranked to 180. So...
The mic is unplugged. Hopefully, maybe we'll plug it in. If he behaves himself so far and he does okay, he gets his rabies shots and everything... we'll plug his mic in next week and we'll allow him to be on the program.
He is rabid. Yeah, he's foaming at the mouth right now.
Yeah. So.
Are you sure that those were chips? Alright, well.
It just wasn't salt.
Oh.
They were Cape Cod brand.
Oh, that. Okay.
I like Cape Cod.
Oh, fuck you.
You.
You like rugby, alright?
Yeah, that's true.
Is Cape Cod taking the world by storm too? All of a sudden that's getting big in America now?
I mean, it's pretty much been in America since it started. You know,
America,
Cod.
America.
Since it is fucking Cape Cod.
It's a place, Nico. It is in America.
It's the worst. Anyway.
I couldn't tell you where it is on a map. I couldn't. I don't. What state is that in? Is that even a state, or is that its own, like, territory? I don't know how that works.
Like Puerto Rico.
I think it might be.
Right.
I think we had to, like, take away their military after, like, World War II or something, right? Like, we're like, no more. You guys start in trouble.
There's an embargo.
I didn't tell you guys. I had a dream that Bush went down to, like, Texas and then convinced all of the South to secede. Did I tell you this?
I think that actually happened a couple times. I think that's actually a fact.
I believe I saw a documentary on that.
No, but then, like, he became the president of the South.
I mean, I could see it.
It was interesting.
Although it'll be interesting when we pull into question the fact that he went to Yale.
Why is she still doing homework? The semester's over.
I think that's a joke. I think it's a poor attempt at a joke.
I don't...
I'm pretty sure it's a joke.
whatever.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, we're just complaining about things that happen in our real lives.
No, that was totally a joke.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Pretty sure.
Okay. Let's talk about Pompidou because I really want to get into it this week.
Yeah, no.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Actually, before.
Before. After. Then, guys. Maybe during.
Nick.
What's up?
Zach's birthday.
Oh, you're getting still on.
Happy birthday, Zachary. This is what he spends his birthday doing, folks. He comes here.
And cleaning a fucking garage for 8 hours.
He cleaned a garage for 8 hours, and then he came here to record the Pompidou podcast for you folks.
Me. Happy birthday.
You organized this shit, didn't you?
Zach.
No, we did not.
Happy birthday to Zach.
Sing along at home.
Happy birthday.
If one person is singing along at home, congratulations.
I hope you encounter a shark attack.
Oh, that's clever. It rhymes with that. Thank you. That was our live studio audience.
Yeah, that's right. ESPN has provided us a live studio audience, too. It's quite amazing.
Yeah, I don't know why they're doing
this.
They
just don't know when to shut up. There it is.
They just.
They love you.
From the Game Show Network, the studio audience, by the way.
That's right.
I love the GSN. I'm sorry.
That's the best, man.
Isn't it great?
We were just watching Family
Feud. All of this seems very obscure and random to them, but I swear, there's a point to everything.
There's... No.
Not a point.
There's things in a visual line of sight, because that makes sense. That we talk about.
That's the problem with podcasts. You guys can't see what we're seeing.
But they also can't see us, so that's the positive.
That is
yes.
You know what
true.
I mean? You know what I mean?
Okay, so...
True. Except you plaster your face all over everything you fucking make.
This is true. This is true.
I definitely do that.
I mean, yeah, he sent me a birthday thing. It was like that cartoon maker thing on Facebook.
With his face
It was
on.
Him.
Of course.
Yeah, it was definitely me. And it was in like a little, it was in like a box, a present box, and it was just me popping it.
It was
said, a popper
that said happy birthday on it.
Yeah. That's like the worst gift. I'd rather like...
I'd rather actually
Can I send it back?
A Nico in a box. A Nico in a box. Yeah.
One, you cut a hole in the box. Two, you cut Nico with that hole in the box because... Fuck him.
Okay.
And there's no third step. He's just dead.
On that happy note.
Happy note. This was the best episode of Pompidou, I think. I would argue.
It was top-notch Pompidou.
For the record, this is only episode 3.
Episode 3.
So we're already putting it on a pedestal?
I mean, so far.
But didn't the third episode get the most...
I believe, yes, online, it had the highest... Highest support.
Highest rating, yeah.
It did.
I think it had a whopping 2 stars.
Yeah.
Whopping 2 out of 10.
Like, on average of, like, 13 people.
It was pretty solid, I'm not gonna lie.
But no, it was, fuck him, send him a voicemail.
I'm gonna have to just, Yeah. No, anyway,
there's a callback later button.
No, it's okay. I'm just gonna let him know.
Yeah. And here's what by good.
We mean awful.
It captured the essence of Pompidou.
Of what our first experience of Pompidou was.
Yeah, very, very self-referential. Mm-hmm. A lot of classic repeat jokes. It was very good.
Oh, yeah, no. It repeated the same joke a lot.
Yeah, very good. Very good.
But it was tweaked a little bit, and it was, quite frankly, just as funny.
Very.
If not a little bit funnier than the first time they did it.
Yeah. I gotta say, you know, this episode had five or six writers, just like the first episode did, whereas the second episode, which is our least favorite, least positively reviewed.
Was it just Matt?
Yeah, it was only one writer, which is Matt Lucas, who, but again, like I said last time, I give him a lot of credit for writing an episode by himself. That's difficult to do.
Yes.
It is. With the writer team, it seems to be like a pretty solid show. Yeah. Pretty solid episodes. I mean, as far as like what we expect from it.
Yes, I think it returned to the reason why we're doing a podcast about it is because it is so horrendously bad that it's great.
Yeah,
and right. It's a beautiful thing.
It is a genuine work of absurdist art.
Yeah,
is what it was.
That's, absolutely, yeah, that's excellent.
And that second episode just did not live up to it, but the third episode certainly did.
It redeemed itself.
Yes.
Should we discuss what the episode was?
Let's get into it.
Yeah, I just want to start off real quick. The episode was titled "The Bowl." And it started out with Pompidou sitting on the toilet, and I had a feeling that it was going to just be about a toilet.
Yes.
Toilet bowl.
It did.
Ooh, double entendre.
But it wasn't at all.
Very clever. There's a couple little clever moments about this episode. I can't tell you.
Yeah, we all have the Chinese restaurant's
name.
About.
Yeah, the Chinese.
The name of the Chinese restaurant was Yusso Fat.
The art school. Garfunkel Art School.
Garfunkel Art School.
Which is great, because Nico and I, at the same time, looked at each other. He just happened to say, Art Garfunkel.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Totally different. Totally different band.
Not Garfunkel and Oates.
I mean, here you have one who sings the sound of silence.
Right.
And then you have another one that says, this party just took a turn for the douche.
Yes.
Two totally separate songs.
That is, yes.
Do you not know who Garfunkel and Oates is?
No, I listen to good music.
No.
They're comedy music.
Yes.
Oh, so I listen to good music.
So they combine.
No, the truth is, I'm just the worst consumer on the earth.
Yes, he is.
Like, name a thing, I have not heard of it. I'm the worst.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay, that's different. When it comes
to Dungeons and Dragons.
When it comes to books, or like, things like that. Like, things that, like, take a lot of time.
Yeah.
Like, more effort than it's worth.
Things that people don't get, you like.
Yeah.
Yes.
But when it comes to, like, things that are actually popular, that I should actually know about, like, watching movies, TV shows, I'm horrible.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I'm the one who found Pompidou, to put that in perspective.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's the type of shit, so.
Garfunkel and Oates is, they combined the names of Simon and Garfunkel and Hall and Oates, and they took the two last names and they put them together. And they are a
funny.
Yes, they are a comedy duo. They're two girls.
I have heard of them.
Yeah,
yes. I've seen them. I know them.
They had like a 13 episode show.
They're very funny.
Yes. It's Comedy Central, no? Or is it?
I mean, it might have been, but I know it's on Netflix. No.
They're on a lot of shows too. Yes. Like those two separate women are on.
Oh yeah.
They're very funny.
Like who's the short one? Who's the blonde one? Was that Oates?
Wasn't she in Scrubs?
Oates? Yeah, the tiny one.
She's in Scrubs.
The tiny black one was the janitor, not the janitor, Ted's love interest in the last two seasons.
The lawyer's love interest, yeah.
Yeah, she was in Scrubs for a while. She had a good run on Scrubs.
Yeah, they're both on like At Midnight now from time to time, too. So like you can see them popping up.
Anyway.
Right? But yes, it is Art Garfunkel.
Art Garfunkel.
Of Simon and Garfunkel.
Simon.
Which is very funny. Very funny.
Yeah, there were a couple of those things.
The premise of this episode was,
Please tell us, Zachary.
I guess they're trying to find a present to give a new random character.
So, what was his name again? Merrick?
Merrick.
Merrick.
Yeah.
Now, okay, let's just describe Merrick.
This
briefly.
Is a good starting
He's a dick.
Point here. Yeah.
Merrick, he just fucking eats bananas the whole time.
He does.
And just kind of like...
And whatever that crunchy shit was.
Yeah, and doesn't say a fucking word.
No, he doesn't.
And he barely, in general, he just like stands there staring, eating his fucking banana.
He's always mad.
And he
always looks visibly upset about something.
He has a spider web tattoo on his fucking neck.
Like the ones prisoners get for shanking some guy.
Yeah. And he's for some reason, Pompidou, friendly little happy Pompidou, is buddies with this guy.
Right. All right. So let's...
So, let's start there.
Let's start here. On television series, there is, on pretty much every series, and I'm assuming that Pompidou is no different, there is a costume department.
Right.
And yes. And the costume department, you know, Game of Thrones is one that has a pretty elaborate, involved costume department.
Yeah, yeah.
And essentially their art is being able to take characters and to learn something about the character and to display that character trait in whatever character they are costuming.
Right.
Here's what I want to know. There was a meeting at some point.
Right.
People got in a room. All right? And either Matt Lucas was the guy or one of the other writers or one of the executive producers or directors or something sat down with whoever's in charge of this costume department. And they had to take a number of notes and said, all right, we need to say something about this character of Merrick. How are we going to say it? And what they came up with was a t-shirt with a giant smiley face on it.
Like emoticon smiley face.
Yes. A gold chain.
Yep.
A gold fucking chain. Yes. That's
like big Italian mobster gold chain.
50 Cent would see this gold chain and say, dude, you've gone a little too far with this.
I don't know about that, actually.
And a giant snake tattoo.
Spiderweb.
Even worse, a giant spiderweb tattoo on his neck. What are they trying to say about Merrick's character here?
You want to know?
That's what I want to know.
Here's my theory about what the costume department is.
Yes.
It is the dollar rack at Goodwill.
I think the spiderweb tattoo was already there. I don't think that was a choice. I think the real choice came down to, do we want to pay for makeup to cover this tattoo? Nah, fuck it. Let's roll with it.
I like it. I like it.
And then, honestly, I don't even know if they paid for a costuming. I think it was just like, hey, you, show up. And he did.
So you're assuming this took a day to film?
No. I'm assuming that they carefully planned everything, and then at the end realized, oh shit, we need a guy to play this role. Hey, you, show up. It's not like his lines were elaborate. It's not like anybody's lines are very elaborate. It's not like it took a lot of acting. He literally just stood there eating bananas. The most expensive part of this episode was probably the bananas.
Half the budget was on bananas.
I actually take that back. But
he's eating two bananas, for the record.
These choices, although random and although very confusing, seem to be very specific.
Yes.
Right? I felt like...
You felt like it was deliberate?
They were trying to tell us something. I don't know what they're trying to tell us. Like, I watch Game of Thrones, and I see a bunch of Bjork-like feathers on Sansa's jacket.
Bjork?
Yes, really? I made a Bjork reference. Yeah, and she, a lot of dark gothic clothing, and I say, all right, I know what you're trying
and
to say.
And the shoulder pads.
Yeah, the shoulder pads. The very
shoulder pads.
The broad shoulder pads.
She looks like a fucking...
I'm in the mist, right?
She looks like a vampire
mortis. I have
mortis.
No idea what they're talking
right.
about.
She looks like a fucking...
Right.
She's evil.
I see
That's
Sansa...
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah. I see Sansa's... What?
She's hot, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That was my sole question about what you're talking about.
I see Sansa Stark, and I'm like, all right, I know where you're going for here. I see this guy with his... Okay, I'll tell you what. I have only one theory, and I will present to you this theory right now this guy. All right?
Good.
Here's what you're telling me. This is all I'm able to glean. Maybe I'm too stupid to understand it. All that's telling me is that this guy is mentally challenged. All right?
I don't think that's the case.
Wow, that's... No.
I don't think that's the case.
I think so.
I think looking at his house, the spiderweb tattoo, seeing what kind of person he is, I think he's a criminal.
He's a criminal?
I think he's an ex-criminal.
Ex-criminal.
As a matter of fact, especially the eating of the bananas, I believe, is a reference to the homosexual prison rape.
The mouth rape.
He is very used to phallic objects, and I think I think that might be why he was eating bananas.
For the record, I'm like 99% sure he just came up with
this. I was about to say that I just came up with this.
He didn't think that at all during the episode.
But I fully support it.
Oh, no. We're making this shit up as we go.
I mean, do you actually think about things before you say them, Zach? Because I don't.
I know you don't.
On a single episode of the show, 99% of what I say has been made up on the fly.
Yes. Yeah. Colin Mockery style. On the fly.
But you know what? It's almost believable.
Almost, yeah.
And you know what? The truth is, I convince myself.
I'll tell you what.
You do.
That's the key to this.
I'll tell you what. There was a...
Different colors.
Stay on topic.
There was a bike outside of his house.
Yeah,
motorcycle. So it implies some sort of he likes to live on the edge, this dude.
Oh, clearly.
Right? He's got a violent side to him. He was certainly violent when Hove decided to get all touchy-feely.
He did punch him in the lips. On the lips.
Which actually disproves.
That disproves my homosexual mouth rape theory.
No, unless
he didn't like it.
Exactly.
But he's still used to it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, which, in a way, almost supports it now.
I'll tell you what. It may disprove that. I'll tell you what it proves, though.
What?
I definitely think.
This supports your prior theory.
Well, there's a number of theories that we...
But I know what you're referring to.
Well, Hove, particularly Hove, dude's gay.
Homosexual.
Dude, I said that.
Dude, yeah, that was him.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah.
Was,
yeah.
Very true.
I said, I actually said it.
I thought you didn't make theories. That's why
I said it the first, no, I said it the first
yes.
recording
yes.
of the second episode.
The one.
I'm like, he's a flaming homosexual.
You mean the secret recording that nobody's ever going to hear?
Yes.
Yeah. The lost episode.
The lost episode
of Papa Doo podcast.
I said he was gay. And it wasn't a theory. He's gay.
I mean, especially, you know, from last episode, I think it's nice for us to reference old episodes as well, to bring them into this. Last episode, as soon as Hove came into money, suddenly his look...
He became very flamboyant.
Flamboyant.
Very
metrosexual.
Metrosexual.
Metrosexual is the right word, definitely. I would say, yeah. He did. And I think that we're discovering something very important about Hove's character.
I think so. And
discovering something.
And I
about
think
the
we are now. I think it is safe to say there is a bit of a love triangle going on.
I mean,
on.
Yeah. And also, this episode, I think, even almost to Zach, has almost convinced Zach that there is a romantic relationship.
No.
Yes,
no.
Yes.
All I said was we can definitively say that the dog is a female. That is what I said.
Who sleeps in the same bed as Pompidou.
Wears a nightcap.
Means nothing.
Cliche I Love Lucy nightcap
this
going
is
on right
straight,
there.
They were laughing together and enjoying each other's company at
they
night.
Were laying in the same, yeah.
It was very, and clearly, I mean, Hove, the first episode, he kissed a man.
Yeah.
Second episode,
Did Hove kiss somebody in the first episode?
The fisherman.
Yeah.
He kissed the fisherman?
Yes.
Why did he kiss the fisherman?
To distract him so they could steal the fish?
No, because they weren't going to do
something,
that.
Or?
I realize how short-term my memory is when it comes to Pompidou. They don't exactly stick with me.
But I know he
I can see it happening.
Did he kiss?
And the second episode,
the
he dressed flamboyantly. And the third episode, he kissed another man. And
but he was pressured by Pompidou to do it.
I didn't get the sense that he hated it.
No.
I do not recall in Pompidou's instructions that he said, kiss this man on the lips.
No, he did.
He kissed him on the fingers, slowly worked his way up.
And then Pompidou
sensually
said, kept going.
Well, but was it necessary?
Well, mind kept going.
Was it necessary to move all the way up his arm, slowly, romantically up
his
lips?
He had to distract him. He had to give him enough time. I'm not saying Hove isn't gay. Hove is gay.
Yes.
I'm just saying Pompidou pressured him to do that.
Hmm.
Maybe.
With very little resistance.
Very little resistance.
And, again, in terms of the love triangle, I think there is certainly, I think this is part of the reason why Hove has decided to stick around for so long, is there is some sort of feeling towards Pompidou.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, Pompidou is already a taken man with, with Marion over there. So, this is a very interesting dynamic, and I think this is all, pretty much confirmed here.
Right, I think so. Also, so let's, maybe we should talk about this, because this is something that I think is pretty significant about this
episode. Should we finish what the
episode was about? No. because this is really important, actually.
Yes.
This episode had easily the most actual English words in it.
Yes.
Yes.
No, it did.
But the words came from one particular character.
No.
Most of them.
Well, I mean,
a majority of them came from the art instructor, yes.
Pompidou and Hove used the average amount of English that they normally do. Maybe it was a tad more, but it was... They have been known to talk in English from time to time.
Yeah.
This particular art instructor spoke...
Solely
English.
Yeah.
He was not in this world.
But then the woman in the Goodwill thrift shop sort of place...
Mm-hmm.
She didn't... She only said 2 pounds.
Mm.
But...
Interesting.
It was... clear as day that she said 2 pounds. And the woman on
the TV.
Heirloom Roadshow. Antiques Roadshow.
Right.
the value.
She said 1 million pounds. £2 million.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of English. But
I think Mayo said something in English.
Here's what I wanted to ask. Yeah, so you're good in the. But you can't mind shit too a little bit. You tried to. Anyways. I want your guys' opinions. How old do you think this art instructor was? Just looking at him.
30s, maybe.
I don't think he's that old.
I would say maybe between 24 and 27.
I was going to say 25.
All right.
He was young.
Okay.
And now,
so was that woman.
They were both fairly young.
And that woman didn't say anything.
But what I think
in this entire episode, she didn't say one word.
What I was wondering.
Except, like, maybe yes.
Is, I mean, because here's one thing they never, ever, ever, ever cover in the Peanuts universe.
Is
at what age does this switching of actual language to
you think it's
random
more of a,
babbling?
I always thought it was more of a gradual thing.
I would think so, but you know, it almost seems like, you know, this man is still, you know, he's still playing with arts and crafts. He's
an art instructor. He's not playing with arts and crafts.
He's got a diploma. Put it that way. He's got a diploma.
Do you think that, like,
but it's an art.
A big boy diploma?
Yes, he's got a big boy
diploma. You think he's got a big boy diploma?
I think it's a junior big boy diploma.
It's not a kindergarten diploma.
High school, but it's not a bachelor's. I mean.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, so.
It's a comfortable associate.
I think an associate's degree sounds pretty accurate.
He has a two-year degree in art.
And I imagine he still lives in his parents' basement.
Yes.
And I
was imagining.
You got that impression, right?
No, I got. He had an apartment.
You think so?
I'm saying he had like a studio.
Well,
like, apartment.
Put it this way, he was certainly hitting on the chick that was there.
Yeah. Well, she was attractive.
I'm just wondering if maybe, you know, maybe this kind of like shows us a little glimpse at the transformation from child to adulthood in the Peanuts universe, which the show is definitely placed in.
Which I think is confirmed now. So as you were saying, as you grow older, your ability to speak and your ability to speak the English language starts to devolve.
Not actually what I'm saying. I'm thinking that in a way, your ability to communicate increases, and the older you get, the less words you actually need to say what you're trying to say. I think that the older you get, the more intelligently you can communicate without words, and I think that they eventually evolve to a point where they don't need them. Yes.
That's one theory.
We are not utilizing this live studio audience.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And we have the signs up.
Yeah.
Thank you, intern.
Dark in here.
Thank you, intern.
Light on.
Thank you, intern. No, well, like, okay. Zach can turn the light on.
That's
cool. All right. Well, Zach is going to disappear for about 10 seconds, maybe.
Interesting. I think you're onto something here.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's I think it's a very very interesting show, and I think we're gonna see some great things coming up. I have another theory, but we'll discuss that very much later into the podcast series.
Yes.
We have brought this up on the Lost episode and
episode one.
I've brought it up. Not on the podcast. We didn't afterwards. I've brought it up every single time to these folks, but I've not. Nobody at home's heard it.
You,
yet.
It is.
No,
you mentioned it.
I made
briefly.
No, because you told me to save it for at least the second or third episode where there'd be evidence. Because it was only one episode. You're like, there's only one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right.
So I'm saving it.
It was the Lost episode.
Yeah, it's a Lost episode. So.
Interesting.
I thought that was cool.
Yes.
So.
So I just want to explain.
Yeah, go over the plot.
All right, so we'll let Zach continue where he left off.
Well, because I hate when I'm listening to something and they just start talking about it and I have no idea what they're talking about. So at least a general.
And yes, probably the 70% of this audience doesn't watch the episode before they listen
to
this.
Which is honestly a shame, folks.
Which is not.
It's a great
show. No, it's not.
No, it's
anyway.
Really, how much time of your day is it? It's 3 hours to watch the entire series.
That's true. And they're spending an hour listening to this, so.
I mean, if you're spending time listening to us, you could lose 3 hours watching the whole
it's
series.
It's 9 hours total. Turn off!
I don't know,
shut up!
Last episode is an hour and a half. I thought, you know. I have a feeling of a few of those.
Oh, it was. Anyway.
Yeah.
So. They start off, they give this bowl that they found in the trailer, Pompidou and Hove, to Merrick as a Christmas present.
Now, is Merrick, they're sitting around the dinner table here, is Merrick a friend? Is he a relative?
I don't know.
It seems like he's a friend.
Could he be a brother?
No, it
Could
seems
he be
like
Pompidou's
friend.
Brother? Because, like, why would you invite just a random friend that we have not seen before to Christmas dinner?
I'm assuming they go to, like, the same, homeless person food line.
Okay,
but
if they were brothers,
then Hove would be waiting on him too because they would have both been in Pompidou Manor.
This seems like an estranged brother, though.
I see a significant age difference too.
That's possible. I mean, Better Call Saul. There's a pretty significant age difference between the two brothers.
That's true. But I don't necessarily see them as family.
Because me personally, on my Christmas and Christmas Eve and Thanksgiving gatherings, those are the times of year where I see family members that I haven't seen.
Right. That's true. However, I know a lot of people, some members of my family, who can't see our family as often because they live far away and they have other restrictions. They hang out with their friends during those times. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, actually.
A lot of people do that.
Hang out with their friends during those times. Have you not seen the show Friends? I'm sure they all hung out. I never saw it, but I would bet you that they all hung out
every Thanksgiving.
On Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They did definitely made a turkey, and the turkey ended up on the guy's head.
So. Right.
Oh, they made a turkey many times.
Yes.
I mean.
Only once did it end up on Joey's, and then it ended up on Monica's head once. Ugh. And then on the floor.
So creative. I would rather watch 5 trillion seasons of Pompidou than 3 episodes of Friends. I'm sorry.
Anyway, so they give him this bowl that they find in the trailer. And then the Merrick goes on Heirloom Roadshow. And fuck it, I'm just calling it.
Wait, they skip ahead 3 months in this episode.
They do. Yeah, they have the audacity
to skip ahead 3 months in this episode.
There was a time jump.
Absolutely. That's where episodes 1 and 2 took place.
Yeah. Very Lost-esque.
Go ahead. So he's on Antiques Roadshow, and the woman values it at £1 million.
This bowl that Pompidou gave as a gift.
Yes.
And found the bowl while digging through a closet, and they just sort of looked for random items. It was a last
minute give them,
re-gift sort
did
of
Did they
deal.
Show that?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, they did.
There was like a flipper, there was a, you know.
Oh, that's what they were talking about on the toilet.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
I was busy doing something else.
Yes.
So then Pompidou comes up with this plan that they're going to replace the bowl with a bowl that looks very similar, so Merrick won't know. And
steal
then they,
the bowl back.
And then they go to a Goodwill place, and then they go to an art institute. They go to a Garfunkel Art Institute.
And they go to an Asian restaurant.
And then eventually they switch it, and then
I'm assuming Vietnamese. I think it was a Vietnamese restaurant, particularly.
No, it looked Chinese to me.
Why do you say that?
It did, but it also kind of looked Vietnamese to me. It looked somewhere either Chinese. No argument. It's either Chinese or Vietnamese.
It's not Japan.
It's not Korea.
Mm.
It's not Thai.
I don't think it was Thai. But the reason I say Vietnamese is because he ate soup, and pho is very popular in Vietnam.
Wonton soup and egg drop soup.
Yeah, but
very popular dish in Chinese.
It looked like a pho bowl to me.
It was a big bowl of soup.
It looked Vietnamese to me.
Here's my question.
Vietnamese, but
how
it's
many
not
of these?
Pho, by
how many
way.
Of these bowls?
Pho.
Pho. Pho. Pho. Pho. Pho. Pho. Pho. Pho. Pho. Pho. Pho. Fuck you.
Pho. It's a dish. It's pronounced foo.
Pho.
Pho. Pho.
And it's pho.
That's how it's spelled.
It's
not. Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
But pho, fuck you.
Sure.
What? Fuck you. There you go.
How many of these bowls are hanging around?
A lot.
Pompidou's neighborhood.
A lot.
Yeah.
A very popular bowl.
Apparently. Or
that woman in the store.
What a cunt.
I need to talk. She was a bitch.
What a cunt.
Pompidou. Okay. Pompidou finds a bowl that's similar enough to where they can manage. They're just gonna have to paint it a little bit.
Is this your favorite scene?
No, I'm just saying. This
okay.
woman was
Let's
such
talk about
a
it,
bitch.
Yeah.
I wanted to punch her right in the face. And so this woman's buying a set of dishes and cups and bowls. And Pompidou has one, and it goes with the set. She just fucking takes it and puts it in a stack.
Yes, and then gets into a bidding war with
And then
Pompidou.
Gets into
and
a
Pompidou,
bidding
and
war.
And Pompidou's like, listen, I know that it's a part of your stack. I appreciate the fact that you want it, but
he
no,
had
you
it.
Have all of these dishes here. I just want this.
He wanted one bowl.
It's £2. Can I just have it? And, I mean, of course, Pompidou being rude, Pompidou as he is, but
he just sort of took it.
He just kind of took it out.
But she did
but
take
then
it
again,
from him.
She just took it from him.
So without... it's justified.
So he puts down the £2, right?
Yeah.
And what does she do?
She puts down £5.
Mm-hmm.
And Nico, what does he do? We're gonna it's interactive, folks.
Teamwork, guys.
I know the order. You know the order?
I know the order as well.
Yeah. Then he puts down a £10.
All right, audience. What does he do next?
Good.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad you got
and
it.
Then...
No. So afterwards. Oh, self-referential.
Yay. Okay.
That's a callback.
After
that,
£10.
All right, intern just told us we're at 34 minutes right now.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, pal.
I'll get you some water in a second.
You need anything? You good? Food? Water? Oh, yes? No? He's on
the He's floor. Lying on the ground. Oh,
shit.
My. Oh, shaking a little bit there.
He's fine.
Okay.
Oh, his eyes just closed. Go ahead.
All right, so...
should he be shaking like that?
Yes.
He should? Okay.
There's enough oxygen in there, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I cracked the window.
Okay.
Yeah, but see, then I saw it cracked and I plugged it.
He's
Oh. Good, good. That was a broken window. We don't want that.
you wouldn't want it. Hey, listen, ESPN spends a lot of money on these studios. You know, we don't want them stealing anything.
No, a lot of crooks hanging around
Bristol, Connecticut. It's a serious thing. Yeah, okay, yeah, just shaking.
The funny part is we're actually just a short drive from ESPN. Like, this is actually very plausible.
No, it is.
I mean, plausible in the sense of,
It's like a 10-minute drive.
Like, I would say, like physically possible. Yes. Physically, not, like, realistically possible, but...
Yes, that a multi-billion-dollar sports corporation would allow us to use their facilities.
But Nico, they are.
That's true.
We have to keep the facade. That's
definitely true.
All right, so what does he do after this $10 bill?
Ten pounds.
10 pounds of the queen of the queen's flesh has is shaved
that
right
would
off.
Be weird.
Wouldn't it? That's what they use
of the queen's currency.
So after the ten, it's your turn.
Yeah, I'll
after the ten.
So they Papadou for probably the for
well,
probably one
do?
Of the
what
50
does she
time.
Do.
Well, she, you know, oh, shit, I wasn't expecting a test.
She outbids.
She put the 20, doesn't she?
She does
put a 20 pound, but I was thinking of the fact that Pompidou took the 10 pound.
Right.
Yep.
He
distracted the woman.
Of course, for one of the 50 times in the episode where he has, Hove. Distract somebody with his magical finger trick.
We're going to talk about the magical finger trick.
But, as soon as she looks away, Pompidou very, very slowly takes his time to take the $10 or 10-pound bill back, in which point she's already turned around and stopped being distracted, pulls out a marker, slowly uncaps it, and writes over just one of the words.
One of the ten.
Ten. Puts a 3 over the 1 for a 30-pound bill, and then drops it back in.
Puts it back.
I'm not British, but 30-pound bill doesn't exist, right?
Let me tell you a story. I had a dream.
I have a dream.
No.
Is that a story? Does a dream count as a story?
It does.
Yeah.
Okay. I had a dream a long time
ago. Once upon a time.
This is a very short story. I had a dream a long time ago that I found $100 on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was, though, I found them in two separate bills. They were not the same type of bill.
Yeah.
One was a $60 bill.
And one was a
$40 bill. It made sense to me. I put it in my pocket.
Yeah.
The next day, around the time where I was planning to go to bed again,
yes,
almost a full, like, 16 to 20 hours later,
yeah,
I was like, I wanted something. I went, well, I have an extra $100. And then I thought about it. And I went, my reaction was just, shit! Because I didn't.
That's right. $40
isn't a that's not a real thing!
Oh.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
So,
here's...
But that woman was a cunt.
Here's what I loved about that scene. No, I have seen a lot of the time, hey, look over there, there's something. And
yeah, okay,
and they
get
distracted, and they look.
Right.
I actually just looked, for real.
Yeah, she just did look. And they do like the quick switcheroo, and then afterward it's like, wah, wah, silly goose, you're not getting one over on me this time.
Yeah.
I've never seen that done with just, hey, look over there, and the person immediately turns back around before the guy even starts doing the switcheroo. That's what I loved about it so much.
It was pretty great.
Yes, and the woman is watching him write the thing on the bill. I just
can
thought,
we talk about the woman?
Yeah,
because we had a revelation about the woman.
Yes, she was a.
She was. The woman at the bus stop.
Yeah,
from episode 2.
A recurring character.
Yes.
And she was at the bus stop again in this episode.
Yes,
very briefly
later on.
Right.
Later on,
it's a ball of clay doing the head.
Yeah. Ah, oh, the ball of clay! Fuck! Let's talk about that.
Should we get to that? Well, maybe in the favorite scenes. I don't know later.
We only have like 20 minutes left.
I mean,
that's fine. Let's do it.
I mean, yeah. Let me just okay. So another self-referential little scene here, a little tidbit referring back to episode 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now I remember on episode 1, our podcast, we talked about this. We love this scene.
We did love this scene very much.
Pompidou fishing.
Right.
He holds up.
Oh,
the ball.
Are we doing favorite scenes right now?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'll talk
about
it.
I need to think about my favorite scene.
I think this is all our favorite scenes.
I mean, yeah,
kind of,
the structure of the show.
No, it's not my
apart.
Favorite.
The structure of the show is just falling apart in general. So
sure, that's fine.
So anyways, he's holding up this fishing pole and he's like, hey!
And he's slapping the water.
Slashing the water.
No, that's the thing. It's not a pole. It is a,
it was a pole with a net.
Well,
it's
a net.
There's a pole with a net attached to it. I'm in an actual pole, not a fishing pole. I meant a pole with a net he attempted to use for fishing.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, he,
Wait, but it was like a 15-foot pole.
Yeah, it was obnoxious.
It was more pole than
It was
net.
Similar to the size of the pole that I tried to get the drone out of my tree. the other night.
Yeah.
You got your drone stuck in your tree.
First use.
By the way, More yeah. Pole Than Net is the name of my upcoming memoir.
Right. Well, continue.
That was great. So,
are you going to spell pole like P-U-L-L or are you going to spell it like P-O-L-E?
Duh, P-O-L-E. It's like it's like when Daenerys Targaryen says, does he still have the pillar of the stones? That's basically my analogy. Did you remove the pillar of the stones? Keep going.
That's a dick reference.
Yeah, the Unsullied.
It's a reference to penises and penises. Balls. Okay. So in this episode,
I was confused.
For all those of you who don't watch Game of Thrones, that's yeah.
And, you're watching Papa do it, not Game of Thrones. That's a sad existence.
It's pretty sad. It's pretty Zach. And rugby.
I hated both episodes I watched. I'm sorry.
No, that's fair. You gave it a try.
Okay, I gave it a try.
Twice. So this today in this episode, he takes the clay, and so we have the art instructor, and he's teaching him how to use the clay. And he goes down, up, down. You drop the clay.
That's how you
up,
like throw it onto
down,
the
you drop
wheel.
The clay to you know help knead the clay.
Wheel.
Mm-hmm. And Pompidou goes
slams it down. Same exact joke.
And he fucking breaks shit. And then he throws it down on the spinning wheel the same way and flings it all over, breaking shit everywhere.
He knocked over the attractive chick's like bottle or something.
Yeah, he fucking knocked over her vodka bottle.
And then the teacher is like, "No, you
apologize,
sorry.
Say you're sorry." And he said all of this in English.
All of this, yes.
And he says, and he's several.
That
lines.
Scene was dragged out though.
It was very irritating.
It was long.
I did not like the English.
Yeah, you weren't a fan of the English, but. There's more
but
to theorize that.
Well, he's a child. That's why. He needs to grow up, I think. And he needs to start paying his own bills.
Yeah.
Move out of mom's house.
You know what?
You know?
You're damn right. You know, he should get motivated.
You should get some motivation, just like Nico. Nico needs some motivation,
I do
too.
Need some motivation.
When are you going to move out? No, I'm just kidding. We all live at home.
I'm 20, bitches.
Oh, yeah, your birthday's today?
Hey!
Oh, it's off! No, give it to me!
Ah, shit, the audience. All right. Silence the audience. Silence! Shush you!
The silent sign is flashing.
Silence for the lambs.
Yeah.
Good movie.
It's alright.
Are the lambs still screaming in Cardi's?
Oh, such a good line, isn't it?
Okay. One thing about that scene. Most people would call that lazy comedy, right? In the sense that we are just revisiting the exact same slapstick
joke.
Right?
No, but it's perfect.
But just applied to a different object. The reason why we loved it is, yes, it was just as bad the first time. But it is... That is the essence of what Pompidou is.
And it works better.
It is the
when I repeat these jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It's the ridiculous...
Because humor. You're sitting there and you're like, there's no way they're going to repeat a joke.
Why would
and
they?
And then they just repeat a joke exactly the same way.
No one fucks given.
No one in their right mind would write that in a script.
No.
No one in their right mind that has been given thousands of dollars to produce a television show.
We're assuming they got thousands of
right.
pounds.
I think... A thousand.
Anyway,
thousand pounds.
Anybody generating revenue for making a television show
more than we're making
would not. Would hey, we're paying the intern.
We're not.
Oh, we're not.
Unpaid
no.
intern.
That's right.
For the record, he might get some speaking time.
That's why you should buy things from Amazon.com through Nico's
Synergy.
Synergy.
Because then we can actually pay our intern a couple nickels.
NicoDiGregorio.com.
Hit like a nickel. Don't get too carried away.
Well, yeah, we need to split some revenue for ourselves.
I mean, come on.
I'll slip in an ad real quick. NicoDiGregorio.com. There's a little Amazon banner on that site, and it's also on NicoShow.podbean.com.
Did we just sell out?
No, we just sold out.
He sold out.
I've been doing this
we're
on podcast
fine.
For the last 10 months of my
oh,
life.
Oh, so you're a piece of shit.
It's
alright. I don't listen to your podcast. I wouldn't know.
No one does.
You're gonna buy something on Amazon, hit that little banner right there and do your shopping from that page. They give us a little percentage and it'll help us pay for the podcast and make it make more awesome bullshit.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So
okay.
I like it.
So let's circle back around. What were we just talking about?
The lazy writing.
The bowl.
Yes, the lazy writing.
What's your favorite scene?
My favorite scene.
Wait. We're skipping over a part here. Wait, one of the times where he throws that clay, it hits the woman on the bench.
He throws it on the spinning wheel. Yeah. It gets launched through the window, and it's the woman sitting at the bus stop, and it slams in her hair. I couldn't breathe. I was laughing.
Yes.
Nico was laughing pretty hard. Were you? I chuckled.
Nico
and I are loud, so I couldn't hear you.
I chuckled.
Were you laughing?
I did laugh, yes.
Do you always wear a chain?
No, I'm wearing a chain.
He's like the dude from Trump Deuce Fred there.
Yeah.
But you're Merrick today?
Merrick today. Merrick, did you have a banana? I love a banana.
I mean, I have a banana.
dick jokes.
So, my favorite scene was after the bull got appraised at 1 million pounds, Pompidou was pissed.
Yes.
He was very angry.
Furious.
He was very furious.
Fast and furious.
And
okay,
I'm just gonna skip right over that. And
let's pretend that didn't
so
happen.
He's like, so sorry, he's like going, he's like ranting.
Yes.
All right, and then he's like, like he's, I'm assuming he's saying goodnight, and then he shuts the lamp off. But then he throws the lamp back down and he starts ranting again.
Well, Hove shuts the lamp off on Pompidou.
No, 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 no,
right?
No, no, no. Pompidou is shutting it off. Pompidou is shutting the lamp off.
Oh.
And then, so he like, and he shuts the lamp off. And then he turns it back on, and he's ranting again. And he's all angry. And then he turns it off again. And then all you see is Hove unplugging the lamp. And then you hear the click of it trying to turn on. And Pompidou just goes... Oh, 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 oh.
That's pretty good.
That's it.
Good.
That was a good line.
Nice
that,
and subtle.
That was yeah, a good... Yeah, yeah. That's my favorite scene.
I dug it.
I want to talk about the book, too. The books.
Oh, yes.
Well, every episode, there's
every
a
episode,
book.
Book. I do love the books.
What was the name of this book?
Well, there were two books. One was about Frigga, which was
right.
The little
bringing
little
back Figgy.
Bring it back
is, Figgy. Is
Figgy
thing like in England? Like
I don't know. Is it?
I hope we never find out.
I hope we never. Anyway, so
Nico is just reaching for his phone.
I
was
just
like,
about
to look it up, and I'm like, no,
so,
don't do that.
Yeah. So Pompidou's reading a book about Figgy.
Yes.
And then, but then the dog. The book was by Jackie Collins. Remember this one. Mm-hmm. And it was House Wolf Wives.
House Wolf Wives.
Which is hilarious.
Yes.
Because it's a great fucking pun. He's a dog, so it works out perfectly. It's hilarious.
She's a dog?
She's a dog.
Did I say he? I meant she.
And that book confirms it again, because no dudes are watching the Real Housewives of... or in it, but the very fact that
true.
It was a wolf wife.
Wolf. Holly Wolf Wives.
Holly Wolf Wives. Yeah,
yes.
There you go.
So those are the books.
Yeah.
That's my favorite scene. Nico, you're up.
Yeah, I thought there was a lot of stuff to love in that Chinese slash, Vietnamese restaurant.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
The pho.
Yeah, so they...
There's something Yi's restaurant.
Pompidou was having his soup, and the bowl that the soup was in looked very similar to the antique bowl, so he wanted to swap that out. So what he did is he told the waitress to, hey, you sit down, I'll wait on you, I'll get you your soup. Runs
yep.
into the kitchen and cleans it out. And then tries to figure out a way to stash this bowl.
Yes.
You saw this coming.
I saw something
coming.
Similar to that.
I didn't see this coming from a mile away, and I don't know why. Maybe my mind does not function that way.
You're physically stupider for watching Pompidou.
Yeah, possibly. He tries stuffing it in his shirt, and he says no, and then he sees sort of a jar of some
sauce.
Sort of sauce. Yeah, soy sauce,
looks
we're soy-ish. Assuming.
I'm surprised it stayed on so well, though. You know? If it was soy sauce is very,
yeah, that's why I said ish.
And
maybe it's like a teriyaki.
And it cuts to him, leaving the restaurant, and the bowl is on his face, and he is painted.
It's like rubber banded to his face.
Yeah. And
yeah.
He has painted a smiley face on the bowl.
And he can't see shit.
He can't see shit. But then, no, I think the funniest part of that was he still says good afternoon, but it's muffled.
Yeah.
Because he has a little,
yeah.
So it's like, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And he just, like, this is fooling someone. And then walks directly into a plant and falls over. And I don't know, I would have never, I never would have thought to hide a bowl by using it as a mask.
In plain sight.
In plain sight, yes.
But there was something about that just tickled me. Really, really loved that scene. Loved that whole sequence. Loved the name of the restaurant.
You're so fat.
Holy shit, I think I just thought of something.
Oh boy.
Please share.
Oh god, this
share.
Is horrible.
Okay.
Share.
You're gonna hate every second of it.
Probably.
Okay.
It is the theory that you came up with.
Well, first off, I'm just going to continue off where you left off just now.
Okay.
Because now, as he leaves the restaurant, she's yelling at him in Chinese or Vietnamese or some sort of language.
Oh, right.
Now, I'm wondering, was she actually speaking that language, or do you think she was babbling in a Chinese or Vietnamese accent, just like they do?
That's a great question.
Well, we don't know anyone who speaks either.
Well, I mean, in this universe, we are assuming that there is... Well, see, that's where it throws it off, because... Every description that you would see the show, and if you were describing the show to someone, you would say there is no dialogue in the show, and therefore in this universe there is no spoken language. But then we hear English from time to time, and then you think, all right, they're definitely speaking this.
But it's the little ounce of their childhood coming out, you know?
Mm.
Well, I think she's actually speaking in a language, because A...
It seemed pretty fluent.
It was very fluent, but even when everyone else mumbles, all the words are sort of jumbled together. You can't really tell where one mumble ends and one begins. You can't tell if they're trying to make words and they're just mumbling on, like if they have their mouths full of marbles or something like that. She seemed to be enunciating very well.
Mm-hmm.
And at least to me, there was sort of clear indications of where a word stopped and where a word began.
Mm.
Right. I could see that.
Yeah. That is a tough question. If we are going with your theory of the Peanuts universe, though, adults of a certain age live in a space where they are able to communicate with each other regardless of language.
Right, but around the time where the Peanuts was written, I believe... Well, when are the Peanuts written?
I don't know.
When Charles Schulz was alive, I don't know.
Give me a decade.
The comic strips were early. The cartoons were what, 50s, 60s?
Okay, so let's go by that.
Uh-huh.
All right. I believe in that time period, Asians were not thought of as people.
Oh my god.
I'm not saying I think that.
We apologize to all Asian communities.
Folks, I'm a Japanese minor.
All right, let's
see. I'm actually leaving to go to Asia in 2 weeks.
All right, 2 episodes and 50 minutes. That is how long it took to get racist.
That's
whoever had that bet in Vegas.
I thought I've gotten racist.
Did I have that over or that under?
I'm pretty sure I've gotten racist before. Speaking of which, though, I'm calling Carl Schultz racist.
That's...
Why are you calling Carl Schultz a racist?
Because he didn't believe that Asians were people.
There was also
otherwise,
one black guy.
If he did, then she would have been speaking in the same accent as everyone else.
Did the black kid in Peanuts ever have any speaking?
Look,
lines?
I'm just asking questions.
You've also never heard or seen where he lives or his parents.
That is very true. Yes, token
now,
black character.
Now, okay,
he's a token black character.
So I have my favorite.
From the other side of the tracks, probably.
From the other side of the tracks. Oh, okay. So I have my favorite scene here.
Yes.
All right, so my favorite scene is towards the beginning, I think. I don't know. Somewhere in the episode. With a Mia.
Within 25 minutes.
Within 25 minutes of the episode.
Yeah. Give or take 25 minutes.
Yeah. He's getting tea, I'm assuming tea, because of England, from Hove. And Ho brings it over with a bowl of sugar. Now, let's just talk about why this scene is funny before we get into the meat and potatoes of this.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the sugar.
The sugar!
So, he's standing there. Ho is holding this thing, clearly annoyed that he has to hold this thing for forever. Mm. And meanwhile,
it's on like a tray.
Yeah, meanwhile, Pompidou just fucking takes 1 scoop of sugar, 2 scoops of sugar. 3 scoops of sugar. Yeah.
A lot of scoops of sugar.
5 scoops of sugar. Probably 10 scoops of sugar.
There's a lot of sugar going into
Starts
that.
Starts stirring it. Takes one sip and immediately just disgusted goes, take it back. I don't want it.
Well, no, he blamed Ho for making bad tea.
Ho, you make terrible tea. What is this?
Right.
It's too sweet. Exactly. What are you saying? Yeah. Like, I'm assuming these are the words he
said. Forgot to add the tea to the sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It was a cup of sugar.
Where he's coming from.
Right.
So... I thought that scene was pretty funny.
Yes.
So, I made reference to this during the episode, and I did not realize how profound it was until a moment ago.
Oh, boy.
I still don't get it.
The sugar bowl. Those of you who have read a book series called A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Mm.
Which I have not.
Which you have not.
Yeah.
Now,
my favorite books are the only series of books that I read willingly growing up.
Right.
Because I didn't read.
Now, here's what I'm going to say. I am not claiming that this is in the Series of Unfortunate Events universe by any means, because it's in the Peanuts universe. That would make any sense.
Duh.
But I think this might be a little bit of an homage.
Mm.
A little homage to Lemony Snicket.
It's a good one.
Okay.
Let me start.
Well, why?
Yes, go ahead.
Maybe Pompidou's supposed to kind of like take place after Count Olaf loses towards the end. But I know he dies in the end of the book, so ignore that fact.
He dies?
I think, right?
I didn't know that.
Do you want to know shocking confession about
you
the
didn't
Series of Unfortunate
Events?
Didn't finish?
I read 12 books. And
there's
I
13,
was
isn't
obsessed.
There?
Nick, I swear to God, I was glued to these books. I would, if the type of books...
I think they strongly imply that he dies.
My mom would tell me, Nico, you need to go to bed because you need to stop reading the Series of Unfortunate Events books. I started the 13th one, got halfway, never finished it.
You are
all these years later, I never finished the 13th book.
You have to finish it.
You don't know the significance of the Sugar Bowl.
I don't know. That's exactly right. I know of the mystery of the Sugar Bowl. You can tell me. One of these days, I'll finish it.
They never fucking tell you in the whole series. That's the secret.
What is... Explain to me about the Sugar Bowl.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
They don't tell you.
Well, no. Why... Why are you making
all you know is Count Olaf is after the Sugar Bowl the whole time,
right?
That he thinks these kids have, and they have no fucking clue.
Yes.
And they never tell you what the Sugar Bowl
is. They never do.
Never fucking tell you. It's a red herring.
Sure. See, I didn't know.
Just like the fish that he caught in the first episode. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
See, I didn't know he was after some Sugar Bowl.
Yes,
I didn't know this.
Yes,
that's why I was like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah. So.
Because so, I never went there. I only saw Papa the movie Doo, and it was bad.
Papa Doo looks a little bit like a fat Count Olaf. Does not.
That was Olaf.
A little bit.
I would say Hove looks more like Count Olaf.
Hove has a comb over. Count Olaf does not have a comb over.
That's true.
Okay. And he lives in a rich mansion.
Yes.
Right? And you can see, you know, after everything going wrong, particularly Count Olaf could end up in that particular situation. Again, this is not the Series of Unfortunate Events universe. This is just a simple homage, a little tip of the hat to Lemony Snicket, a.k.a. Daniel Handler. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler.
Or, this is all a sequel, and Pompidou is the false identity of Count Olaf.
Or maybe Count Olaf never died.
That's what I'm saying. He's like undercover, incognito.
Oh,
okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wait, where's Cognito?
You're hilarious. You are a hilarious person.
I am funny.
You guys can't see this at home, but I'm actually setting a match underneath Zach right now. He is going to burn to death.
And then feed you to a dragon.
That'd be a sweet way to die.
What?
Ask the guy that just died in the last episode of Game of Thrones.
He did not seem pretty happy about that. He seemed actually pretty... it looked painful.
Yeah.
Burned to death only to be bitten in half by a dragon.
I want to be killed by a dragon.
Spoiler for those of you who have not seen the show.
Then I can make my grave a giant dragon.
So
I'm gonna catch this motherfucker.
That's interesting. We are sort of running out of time.
We're getting to a good point.
I have just one more thing that I want to throw in your direction.
Throw it in my direction. You throw it down and I'll pick it back
next
up.
Next week. Mary and the Dodd. There's a particular scene with Mary and the Dodd this episode that I thought was very telling. And
yes,
Marion was ultimately the one once he got...
How did we forget this?
That's what I'm saying. Once he swapped out the pottery bowl and brought it back, Marion was
unpainted,
the one...
Unpainted, unglazed.
Right. Marion was the one to paint this thing... Every brush stroke,
brush.
I combine brush and breast.
Because breast stroke.
Because a breast stroke swimming. Every
not because of boobs.
Brushed stroke.
Every stroke of the brush.
Stroke of the breast.
she was looking at the newspaper picture with the bowl in it and carefully painted this thing.
Now, yes. Now this scene was eloquent.
Amazingly, by the way.
It was a very elegant, very, very elegant
eloquent
scene.
Eloquent.
Eloquent.
What's eloquent?
Different than elegant.
Eloquent
What's
is
the difference?
No, eloquent is language related.
You're language related.
Uh-huh. I am.
This is the language of video.
I see.
I'm gonna make an argument.
The language of
elegant. It was beautiful. It was very beautiful.
For the record, all of this bullshit that I come up with on the fly, I blame Mrs. Krupinski for. From high school. Shout out to Miss Krupinski.
Sure she's
S-Krups,
listening.
What's up? Hashtag S-Krups.
I'm sure she's listening.
You sure?
No.
I highly doubt it. But if she is, shout out. No, that scene was very beautifully done. Camera angles.
It was, yeah.
Beautiful music. Lighting. It was just gorgeous.
It was a very beautiful scene.
I forgot I was watching Pompidou for a moment.
So I think we've learned something from this. And within the next 3 weeks, I'm sure there will be more evidence of this. Marion the dog is a incredibly gifted human, or incredibly gifted dog. I was going to say human being. Is unbelievably gifted.
I think they all have their gifts.
Yeah.
They do. But it seems like...
Hove is clearly magic.
Marion the dog is the most educated, most
yes.
Marion is the most competent, right?
Yes, easily.
Easily, and she's the dog in this sort of weird family/love triangle that they have going on there.
Very
But she still gets dragged along around her leash on all these adventures.
Is it possible?
We've never seen her outside of the trailer, though.
That Marion was the partner in that relationship. That was making all the money.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Marion is the reason he was so rich.
Maybe Marion got turned into a dog.
And
her fortune was lost. Who knows?
But
that's a ridiculous thought. I mean,
I think we have
come, that's ridiculous.
We have come to assume, and this is probably a little sexist slash misogynistic, that Pompidou is the breadwinner in this family, right? And that he is the guy that is going out there and making this ridiculous fortune.
But here's the thing. We were led to believe that because it was called Pompidou Manor.
I suppose.
And Hove is Pompidou.
No. Pompidou's his last name, right? Marion's last name may also be... It may be Marion Pompidou. If they're married, it's Marion Pompidou.
I guess.
You know what I mean? So,
and
so,
she would want that manor to be named for her children as well. I mean,
right, for her family. So if they are married, they both have the same last name. But it wouldn't be... Pompidou would not be referring to his first name, be referring to his last name, right? So if it's Marion
Pompidou.
Yeah. So if it's Marion Pompidou, maybe she is the talented rich person that made this immaculate fortune, and Pompidou's the one along for the ride. Because it seems like she is by far the most intelligent and talented of this group.
I have to agree. And I think so far we can agree on a few things.
Mm.
For a fact. Mm. No argument.
Mm.
One, Marion is the most gifted female character in the show and is in a romantic relationship with Pompidou.
Yes.
Does female need to be stated, though?
Yes.
Yes.
Two, Hove is a homosexual and has homosexual feelings for Pompidou. Right?
Yes.
We can. Has homosexual feelings for Pompidou.
Yes.
And three, this show takes place in the Peanuts universe.
I think we have confirmed those three theories.
Those three things. Now, as I just mentioned before, we have a fourth theory. I have a fourth theory.
Yes.
And I think every episode, it is coming closer and closer to being proven right.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Because there's a shot in the dark that I said in episode one.
Well, like everything. Like everything on this show.
But I think that... And we're going to do six episodes, then we're going to do a seventh episode, wrap all this up, conclude everything, talk about what we've learned, all that. That will probably be the episode where I will reveal this, if it stays true, and if not, I will tell you in one of the episodes where I discover that it's not true anymore.
I like it.
So, sound good? I think... This was a great episode this week.
It was.
No, it was, yeah.
It was, for Pompidou standards, yes. It was a very Pompidou episode.
It was very...
Put it that way.
Whereas last episode felt like estranged, out of place.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt like it lost its way, but I think we have gotten back on course, and we are back to the Pompidou that we have all fallen in love with.
Yes.
Those many weeks ago.
Yep.
Let's knock on wood, though, that it doesn't go back.
There we go.
So, do we know what next week's episode is entitled, or?
Nope.
No, but it'll be a surprise.
Oh,
to all this
the date.
The date.
Yes, the date.
Interesting.
So that'll be our date.
And it's on Valentine's Day.
I just thought of your theory, and I'm like, holy shit. Holy.
Oh my god!
Holy shit. All right.
That's
the Pompidou Podcast! Yay! All right, Studio One. All
right, we'll see you guys. We'll see you guys next week.
And until next time, you guys have all been naughty.
Naughty.
No, 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 no,